entire year. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
I was trying to howl and growl at the same time, and I haven't figured out how to howl and growl, but if you haven't figured it out, you've landed in Juicebox Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR with Ms. McGillivray and with the lovely Julia Saunders, who is back. Welcome back, Ms. Julia.
Thank you, and thank you so much for taking care of the show while I have my birthday in Drumheller, Alberta.
Well, I hope it wasn't
dinosaurs.
I hope it was good, and I hope you had lots of research and lots of wonderful things you want to talk to us about tonight.
Well, I think I just have to thank you, honey, for bringing the show together again tonight, because it's on a topic that I'm not so great at, which is fantasies and making your fantasies into reality. So I happen upon my fantasies by accident. And I think that if you really want to make your fantasies reality, you need to sort of premeditate them, think about them really well, learn how to communicate about them, etc. So tonight, we're going to be taking calls on the subject. Call in and contribute to the conversation we're having on fantasies tonight, 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And for the students that have arrived from international locations, which usually they come in a week before the rest of the school opens to get settled, etc., hopefully they're tuning in. And then we're going to have all the new freshies back next week. We'll blow some of the young people's minds and get them sorted on their sex issues. So,
is this when we start to turn into pumas?
Yes. I think we already had an opportunity this evening. All right. So
yes,
giving instructions on how to get to the grad center. All right. So we're talking about the Juicebox Guide to Fantasies tonight, turning them into reality. So what are they? Why are we motivated by them? Why are we interested in them? How do you make them actually happen? And what can go wrong or what can go right? And why and how to fix these things? We're going to be talking about all that tonight. And the most popular ones, et cetera.
Exactly. And I think we should start with what are sexual fantasies? Because fantasies themselves are daydreams. You can call them images, visions, you know, whimsical speculations, wishful thinking.
I think wishful thinking for a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. Everybody fantasizes on some level. So you can't tell me you don't fantasize. You do dream, don't you?
And if you ever imagine what you'd do if you won the lottery, for example, then you're using fantasy.
Exactly.
So don't think it's got to be all taboo, kids. It's also a fundamental part of human nature. Mm-hmm. We dream about the future. We create ideas. We have active imaginations as healthy children. You watch them playing and they see them lost in the world of their own. They're creating things. And something, we feel it's something that adults should grow out of, but it's not. And most people never do. And I hope you never will, because fantasizing is creative. And that's a creative process that we should always keep those channels open. So, you know, even if you manage to be a person who suppresses your imagination during the day, all those unconscious passions, for example, in sexuality will emerge when you're sleeping.
And we have had sleepovers, so I know you dream. I've seen you. It's true. Maybe not recently in the last couple of years, but
I definitely dream.
And definitely.
Thankfully, in the last 7 years, I've learned to have orgasms in my sleep. And so can you if you work at it. So
I will have to work at it.
You probably have them. You just don't wake up.
No, I try to have them. I just wake up unfulfilled and frustrated and want it very, very, very badly. But that's a whole other thing.
Well, let's talk about
understanding fantasies
and what they're all about.
Well, fantasies are interesting. I think there's a huge range in personal taste, and each one of us is so unique and different. It's really important to realize that what you think of your fantasy, you have to start. There's a lot of people who do feel shameful about it, where it's like, ooh, it's sexual. Oh, my goodness, I have this vision. I had one of our friends tell us.
Weird preferences, something they think is strange.
They used to imagine like a pedophile when they were a kid, basically, like taking them and stroking them and touching them, and thought they were the weirdest, creepiest person. Or that other friend of ours who told us about wanting to. Well, we won't go into it. I think we had to figure out who that friend is.
This is not going to become the Caroline Julia show. I think, like, basically,
you have to stop feeling guilty about things.
Yes, and as different as you are as a person next to the next person, as is how different your sexual fantasies will be. So don't think that what turns you on is going to be unacceptable and so you can't indulge yourself. It's perfectly healthy and natural to have fantasies. How you play them out in your life may not be the healthiest option, so we're going to talk about that and where your kind of limits should lie around that and ways to communicate it. But basically, sexual fantasies express usually an aspect of your unconscious mind. So, for example, very common for women to be submissive. They link their desire to experiencing sexual arousal without any personal responsibility. Now, there's a lot of published papers around fantasies and women's submissive fantasies and rape fantasies, which we'll be talking about a little bit later in the show. And that has to do with the social construction of female sexuality and why, you know, we need to have the responsibility removed from us, because to be a responsible sexual agent in this world means that you're a whore of some kind. And that's kind of how we've been trained up as young people for generations and generations. So
since the Victorian era, definitely.
So, right. I mean, basically now women have turned this around to being like, well, the submissiveness is, and not having any responsibility to the sexual expression is a relaxed state for women to be in, because they know that they haven't done anything wrong. It wasn't their fault. And this all happened to them. They were innocent, right? Mm-hmm. Still very common. And that's kind of the subconscious playing out that's happening, which we're going to talk about as well a bit tonight.
I think as well as that, in terms of with submissiveness in particular, I think for a lot of women, because we take control of a lot of things in life, we work now, we don't stay at home like we did in the 1950s, where
we have control over our lives. We don't need to rely on anybody to take care of us. No,
that's true. But because of that, sometimes it's nice in a fantasy world just to let go of that, because we have to be so independent in so many ways. It's nice to be taken care of because it feels really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I
agree.
Another thing I think people fantasize a lot about is about other people.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not
actually, that's the biggest amount of fantasizing is usually involving other people.
I think so. And some people worry about that, especially if they're in a monogamous relationship. It's like, oh gosh. I mean, you probably hear this all the time too, Jules, where people say, is it an act of cheating, like an act of betrayal, to basically be thinking of like your secretary while you're fucking your partner?
Mm.
And I think it depends.
Well, yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about this over dinner, and I think that if it's a repeated situation where you have a crush on someone and you're actually not being connected to your lover, you know, you're not present with your lover, you're not connected to them, and it's sort of like every time you kind of need to think about these other people to get yourself aroused or to keep yourself aroused or erect or whatever, there's something else going on there that's not healthy and not going to help your relationship. If it's an occasional thing, or maybe it just sort of pops into your head in the middle or something once in a while, then that's totally natural and fine. You know, other people would purport that's, you know, crap. You know, they'd be like, well, no, I mean, every time I fantasize, and my lovers love it when I talk about these other people, and it really turns them on too. And all I'm suggesting is that you're not necessarily connecting to that person.
Mm-hmm.
You're creating movies about other people and not necessarily having sex with that person. You're having physical sex, but you're not having actual emotional, mental, psychological sex with that other person, which I think is pretty important.
I think
over
so
time
too.
That you're actually making love to the person that you are physically with. So,
yeah. And especially if it turns into a case where you're no longer turned on by your partner,
mm-hmm.
where you need that other person, whether it's imagining having a threesome every single time you have sex with them,
mm-hmm.
and having to imagine a third party in the room.
Yeah.
It's a scary thought.
I don't think it's a good sign of a healthy relationship, personally.
No, but
and professionally.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyway.
But apparently this is rarely the case. Most evidence does suggest that those who fantasize are those who are usually in happy, loving, trusting relationships because they feel safe to do so in the context where this mind gets to explore places where the body, it really has no intention of going beyond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for some people, the fantasy is just great and they're happy with that, mm-hmm. and they don't go any farther. And again, they're perfectly healthy. When you want to start to engage other people is sometimes when, you know, in physical sense, is where the complications can start.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of benefits to fantasy. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I think it's great because sex generally starts in the brain. So if you have an active imagination, it can mean that you're ready for sex before anything physical has happened. And desire does get heightened and arousal is much quicker. And I think if you have an active fantasy life, you're going to be a lot more sexually aroused and available.
Definitely. And I think having an active fantasy life, it can add novelty to a long-standing sexual relationship. And I think this is really helpful, especially if your partner isn't quite as sexually adventurous as you are.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of mismatched couples out there where mm-hmm. some people feel more released and able to explore and fantasize, and their partner's pretty vanilla. And so they kind of just want to, like, you know, do the usual positions in the usual way and on the bed and whatever else. And so the person who doesn't get to have those creative outlets can sort of go in their mind. Again, I just want to warn that if this is something you do all the time and your partner is never kind of meeting you or matching you or whatever, that there might be some deeper issues that you're going to need to work on to make the long-term relationship healthy and sound over time.
But at the same time, I think it's great because it can be used as a practice arena just so you can kind of build that confidence before embarking on something new. Like thinking of how, you know, how I'd like to do it before I approach my partner on it. So you have nice, clean thoughts, nice, mm-hmm. clear thoughts, being very, very specific.
We don't want clean.
Well, clean can be really good. I've had sex in the shower before and it's quite lovely.
Well, I know that psychosexual therapy, for example, people that are anorgasmic or people that have trauma, sexual trauma in their life, and they're in psychotherapy and sexual therapy trying to, you know, solve their issues. Some women with vulvodynia and other kind of vaginismus issues and syndromes tend to, the therapist will suggest fantasy to block out the negative thoughts. So kind of mind control. And if you find that your mind during sexual encounters, your mind wanders to unhelpful images or thoughts, obviously fantasy can help you refocus on your sexual pleasure. So, you know, if you start to think about something that really turns you off in the middle of a sexual encounter, you can then switch your mind, control your mind to think of something that turns you on. So again, that's fantasizing, you know. So it is a kind of broad topic we're talking about tonight.
But. Definitely. And if you do find that keeps happening repeatedly, perhaps you might want to talk to your partner about it and possibly engage the help of a psychosexual therapist.
Mm-hmm.
It might be helpful to have an outside party, just
yep.
Where there's no hurt feelings or anything, somebody who can guide you through that process,
mm-hmm.
just so you can feel happier and healthier and have orgasms and enjoy yourself and not have sex being a traumatic thing. But mm-hmm. I think it starts with learning how to fantasize in a sexual way. Because
I mean, I'm not a strong fantasizer. I never have been. And I think if I was better at that, mm-hmm. then I would have more successful orgasms in many senses, because I would be able to get out of my head and be more easily aroused, as I was suggesting earlier in the show. Just that if you find that your sexual fantasies don't come easily and you're in your head about other things while you're engaging in sexuality and you're not really getting turned on,
mm-hmm.
remember that it's your mind that is the biggest turn on. So,
and mine is the biggest erogenous zone out there. It starts with the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So you can start with things like erotica is great.
Mm-hmm.
I love Anne Rice myself. She's got mm-hmm. some wonderful books. I forget what her pen name is for the Sleeping Beauty trilogy, but it's pretty hot, where she's woken up by the prince by getting fucked as opposed to by a kiss. It's
sounds
quite
lovely.
Sexy.
I like the idea of that. That's actually a pretty common fantasy, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not necessarily a necrophilia fantasy where the person has to be dead, but I think a lot of men like to do that rape, that taking of women that are totally submissive, that are maybe, you know, passed out or fallen asleep. And that's quite a common fantasy, to have the woman not move or say anything and pretend that she's sound asleep or
mm-hmm.
passed out or something. So, again, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the psychosexual stuff, about why do we feel these ways, what motivates us to do these sometimes considered paraphilias or fetishes that are perhaps a little unhealthy or, I don't know. What's the right word right now? But
unhealthy or not necessarily a safe thing. Like, for example, if you like having sex with girls
abusive
who are asleep, abusive, like giving them GHB where it's unconsensual.
Mm-hmm. Unconsensual.
Something like that would be unhealthy. Whereas I think erotica can help a lot of people. It's great.
Yeah, magazines, videos, there's lots of films and, you know, it's basically to help you find out what turns you on.
Definitely.
That's what you're after.
I think so. Whether it's a more explicit rated movie, like a porn. We're talking earlier about Candida Royale. She's got film productions as well, where it's all about, from the female perspective, porn. And there's so much on the internet these days. You just kind of have to sift through, see what you like. And with the help of relaxation techniques, perhaps some tantra, like a lot of breath work and things like that,
mm-hmm.
just lie back and enjoy. Just
allow
your mind
to build your personal movie in your mind about whatever it is that you might have gotten an idea spurred from erotica or whatever romantic film or whatever. This is how you learn to fantasize. So get creative, go for it, and then, yeah, the relaxation.
Definitely.
So the most common male fantasies, Caroline did some fabulous research this evening, and she found
the top ones are having sex with an existing partner. Obviously, this is for somebody in a monogamous relationship. Giving and receiving
oral
sex.
Or just in a relationship.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
true. Good point. Having sex with more than one person.
Giving and receiving oral sex. Did you say that? Okay.
I mm-hmm. did mm-hmm. say
yeah.
that.
I'm surprised about the giving oral sex. I, you know.
You need to go on Craigslist.
From my professional
under the casual
opinion.
Encounters. And see how many guys want to give. I think sometimes we just don't train them well. Where I've had ex-lovers tell me that before, where it's just like, I didn't like the way they're touching me, I get ticklish, and I don't want them to go there right away. And it's not that I don't want it, it's just I don't like the way they're doing it, and I don't have the words to describe it. So with that, I've been told that I've actually trained them out of it, so then they stop trying after a while.
Mm-hmm.
So it all comes back down to communication all over again. But yes, or receiving and giving oral sex is a big one. Although that is a very valid point, because in pornography there isn't very many guys giving girls oral
no.
sex necessarily.
No,
but definitely receiving.
It's all about the genitals, and if you can't see them because they're covered with a mouth, which is usually what it takes to give oral sex on a female,
but
it can be hard.
But we did describe it in terms of the whole lesbian thing, too, because there's lots of girl-on-girl action. Mm-hmm. In some porn.
Well, anyway.
But anyway, back to male fantasies.
We can talk more about the porn later. So male fantasies, yes. Having sex with more than one person is popular, and being dominant. I think it's a gender-based fantasy for sure, but that depends. I mean, really, if you're somebody who... I mean, fantasies can be anything for anybody, right? You can be dominant or submissive, doesn't matter what gender you are, what sexual orientation, whatever.
And I think with the fact that sometimes they like being passive and submissive, being all tied up and having the woman have their way with them, I think it's kind of a nice thing, too.
Yes, I have a lot of men who share their passive fantasies with me.
I think
it's quite anal toys.
Oral toys. Watching others make love.
That's a big one, yes, okay. And
voyeurism.
Reliving a previous experience and trying new sexual positions.
Definitely.
Strange. So the most common female fantasies, I just say strange because I'm like, I just am surprised.
Why are you surprised?
I don't know. It's like this is the most vanilla research ever.
This is across North America, all right? This isn't just...
I need to go have a cough fit.
Yes,
so you're going to have to just talk about female fantasies.
The top female fantasies are actually very similar to the male ones, which, number one, having sex with an existing partner, which is really important. I know myself, I've relived sexual experiences sometimes while I've taken care of myself. Giving and receiving oral sex, because it can be pretty hot either way. Having sex with a new partner. And sometimes that's pretty hot, where sometimes the first time is really good when you have sex with the person when you actually bring that into reality. But we'll talk about that a bit later. Romantic or exotic locations. Doing something forbidden. Being submissive. Being found absolutely irresistible, which I think most women really like, being found irresistible.
I love that one. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's a good one for me.
And trying new sexual positions. I think it's a good one for most women.
Trying new sexual... I don't ever fantasize about that. Anyway,
I fantasize about it all the time. I've always wanted to use the Kama Sutra 365 days a year.
Okay, I have done that.
Mine.
You're right. I've done that one because I thought, well, that would be really interesting. And I do a lot of yoga.
I know. You're very flexible, Julia.
Not as flexible as you. Anyway, okay, so there's the cautions. We're going to talk quickly about the cautions of sharing fantasies because some couples have found that sharing and acting out their fantasies has increased their trust and intimacy. Others have not. They've had nothing but problems. So remember that fantasies are extremely personal and there are risks involved in disclosing them, especially to someone that you care for or perhaps somebody who's jealous or possessive. So consider how you're going to manage it, manage the relationship, manage your reactions if they don't like your fantasy or if you try acting it out and it just doesn't work. So the plan B, the exit strategy, these are all very important to consider beforehand, please. And to remember that sharing fantasies can be liberating, but they are risky. So talking to your partner first, I think a good rule of thumb is talking about the general theme of the fantasy that you're talking about. Then approach with caution. So, you know, you might want to talk about like, I'm really interested in maybe having a threesome with another girl. You know, what do you think of that? Don't start going into the big dramatic like details about it all or about some specific woman that you're really interested in or something. That's a real no-no.
Yeah, you don't want to make her jealous. You don't want to make your partner jealous. What you can do though is you could be, say, having sex from on all fours and they're having sex with you from behind, biting your neck, and you reach back and you gently stroke their balls ever so gently, just reaching back really lightly with your fingers and touching yourself at the same time. And with that suggesting, wouldn't it be nice to have somebody there with their tongue here, just gently stroking you and licking all the juice off your cock as it's going in and out of me? I think that'd be really hot, and that'd be a really nice,
way to approach the idea and, you know, getting off the topic of balls into lesbian sex. I think the top 10 lesbian sexual fantasies
from lesbianabout.com.
They have one-night stands as the number one.
I thought that was interesting.
You get off at her stop, you follow her to a secluded alley where you get busy without even asking each other's names. I think it's kind of hot. The other one was romantic. So, you know, basically, lover treating like a queen, renting a limo, whatever, hotel, chocolates, etc., exotic locations, fruit off each other's bodies, that kind of thing.
I could become a lesbian for that, possibly.
I think they're women. They're women. They like to be romantic.
I like romantic.
Then there's also the delivery or mail carrier, delivery person. So I have to be honest, I have friends that have done this. Really? And we helped them act it out, actually. So and we got the big, you know, story after the fact. So it was quite a successful role play.
Did she have something extra in her package?
Yes, she did.
A strap-on?
Yes, darling. So, and the woman was wearing the nightgown. The submissive was wearing a little nightgown and, you know, being...
Do you have video of this?
So great.
It's so hot.
A great story. It was so awesome. Never mind. If she's listening tonight, she'll know who she is. and then, of course, the lesbian top 10, number 4, was group sex or orgy. Oh, are we having some music already?
No, okay. Not quite yet.
Then there's celebrity sex. And again, I'm thinking, is this just about lesbians or is this really, this is all of us? Anyway, exhibitionism, putting on a show for your lover, dominance, so having her beg at your knees, ready to meet your every sexual need, I think, begging you to take her, etc., those kind of things.
Submission.
Again, we were talking about submission, yes. And forbidden sex. Is there someone you want that you just can't have? Your boss, your sister-in-law. It may be wrong to sleep with her, but fantasizing can do no harm.
Better that than your brother or your sister.
So the 10th most popular lesbian fantasy is gender play. So ever fantasize that your partner is a man with a real live penis? Or that you can have a penis you can whip out anytime you desire sex. This is a common lesbian fantasy. We all like a little cock once in a while.
Yes, we do. Some of us more than others.
Spelled wrong on the internet there. Okay, so...
Cock is spelled wrong?
No, your, as in... You should be... You are... People always make that mistake, and it's one of my biggest
But it's not one of mine.
Pet peeves.
It's a pet peeve of mine, too. It's like people who don't text properly. It drives me crazy.
God. Anyway, people are...
Who do you like?
You getting less and less educated in the world.
Are.
Okay. So, what happens when sexual fantasies become part of reality? Now, we might get to this in the second half of the show, but it was a pretty interesting little article that you found.
Thank you, Dan.
I think we'll talk about that at the second half of the show.
I think so, too.
And we're going to also talk about the top classic, the threesome. We're going to talk about the ins, the outs, the ups, the downs. We're going to be talking about the juice box top 3 tips on how to make it happen and make it successful. We're going to be getting into the rape fantasy for women. Why is it so popular? What's it about? What's the psychology behind these kinds of fantasies? And some more on role play, because... That's a good place to start. Before you start involving other people, if you want to fuck a blonde, get her to put a blonde wig on and pretend she's somebody different.
I think that's great. Or else masturbate to it. There's a lot that can be happened on onesome sex.
Yes, onesome sex. Get a pocket pussy. I don't know.
There's different ways for that. But anyway, we are going to be right back, aren't we, Miss Julia?
Yes, but I must tell you first that you're listening to Juicebox on CITR Radio, 101.9 FM in the Lotus Land of Vancouver, British Columbia. Keep that dial locked. We welcome your calls, especially during this time, at 604-822-2487.
Tell us all your dirty deeds.
We will be right back.
We'll be right back. Thought that I would live to be 25 years old.
The Organ Donation and Transplant Association of Canada asks you to consider making the gift of life possible for the thousands of Canadians waiting for their miracle.
After the transplant, I realized that I have such a life and such an opportunity to do everything that I wanted to do that I want to do it all. I'm able to do it all.
Please talk with your family about signing an organ donor card.
I know people going through the transplant process who might have grown up ill or become ill through a defect or a disease. There is light at the end of the tunnel. There is a life that you never expected before.
Find out more at organdonations.ca or phone toll free 866-949-0003.
My goal is to somehow let everybody in the world know about organ donations and have everyone talk to their family about donating an organ.
Find out more at organdonations.ca.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
What is this extra song going on?
I don't know. Okay, it's scaring me, though. Welcome, it's multitasking.
Welcome back to Juicebox Radio, fantasy to reality. But first, once we stop with this music, we're gonna have juice berries.
I suppose so. And before the, I have to do it now since Val, who was doing the show beforehand, was mentioning it.
Welcome back to Fantasy
Island. Welcome to Fantasy Island, where all your fantasies can come true. The Mr. Rock. Greetings.
Okay, anyway. What is the juice berries, Sunny?
Anyway, the juice berries are, we're doing the roast of Malaika Millions. For those of you who go to Kitty Nights, which is normally at the Biltmore, it is shut down this Sunday. It is going to be at the Dollhouse, and it's only I can't say how much it is, but it is going to be, it's the roast of Malaika Millions, who is one of our favorite, wonderful.
What night is it?
It's Saturday. And it's going to be quite lovely. And she has something else going on, which I cannot remember what it's called, but it's going to be a great night, which is going to have more mud wrestling and things like that on the 29th at the Wise Hall, which is not that, which is really, really going to be a super cool show.
I think if you just Google Malaika Millions with an I, you'll find lots of information about it.
I like Malaika Millions. She's pretty
now,
awesome.
Before the end of the show,
before the juice bears?
Yeah.
Before the break.
We were talking about what happens when sexual fantasies become part of reality. And there was this talk given in Las Vegas at the annual meeting of the Society for Scientific Study of Sexuality. And Dr. Vera Maas was talking about what happens when sexual fantasies become part of reality. And I think just to sort of give some tidbits on that, she talks about gender differences and research into the area revealing that men and women's fantasies are qualitatively different. Men's are more explicit. There's a lot of differences in the role of dominance and submission, which we've talked about. And generally accepted that men see themselves as more dominant in their fantasies. Women, on the other hand, view their roles as submissive in most of their fantasies. And again, this is sort of across the heterosexual board by the sounds of it. Again, we talked about women being with their beauty so overwhelming that men are just rendered helpless in their desire. This is a big fantasy for women.
I like that.
And anything that allows women to not have so much activity or responsibility, as well with the rape, which we're going to be talking about in a minute. Even the women who fantasize about being sexually dominant did so with primarily focusing on their partner's sexual pleasure rather than on their own pleasure. So again, when a woman is fantasizing about her own pleasure and her own script and her fantasies about herself, generally it's in a submissive role. So again, if she wants to dominate her partner, it's about doing something to him, not necessarily for her own sexual arousal. She may be aroused by the idea of it, but actually doing it is not necessarily about her being aroused in the fantasy. It's about her dominating her partner. So this is part of the outcome of the study. So she also talks about different categories of sexual fantasies serving different functions. So, and again, we're going to be talking about the psychology of sexuality a little bit as well. We have a bit, but we'll do more of that. And that sexual fantasies often are meant to be led to passion and arousal, to bring people closer, to bring people to another dimension, to increase intimacy and bring deeper meaning to their relationships. And this is some of the categories. So generally, fantasy should kind of be coming from that place of deepening your experience with another person, is what this doctor is suggesting. But then there's this pornography thing, which becomes functions actually to remove limits to especially men's sexual fantasies to the point of desensitization. So sex therapists these days are saying that they encounter more and more men who are actually unable to become sufficiently aroused to experience orgasm in any kind of normal sexual activity, quote-unquote normal, because they become addicted to the level of sexual arousal that they feel while watching the porn. So intercourse itself, or, you know, their basic sort of sexual experiences with their partners do not do enough strong stimulation to keep them going. So not a good thing. This is not helping you, people that are doing this. And if you are finding yourself addicted to porn, I definitely highly recommend you go and see a counselor to deal with that, to help yourself to resensitize yourself to quote-unquote normal sexual situations. Yes, honey? Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think porn can be actually really healthy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. I was talking about the addiction part and the desensitization part.
Point. I understand that.
Yeah, I'm not saying that porn is unhealthy. It's perfectly healthy to watch porn. Okay. It depends on what kind of porn you're watching, you know, and
kitty
how often
porn
you watch it. And if you're not getting aroused at all without it and that kind of thing, then there's issues.
Definitely.
So the future directions that were kind of put out in this article was that the line between sexual fantasies as fantasies and becoming part of reality is a thin line. You have to think about what you're going to do to cross it, what's going to happen on the other side, which Caroline and I sort of talked about. In the beginning, it may not seem so bad, or might be a good idea or a way to sort of enliven and spice things up, but you have to remember that the demands get stepped up every time, and the compliance becomes more challenging, or you have to kind of keep increasing the intensity of things. So just be careful when you start to act out your fantasies in reality. Dr. Maas is saying. She just released this paper called Facing the Complexities of Women's Sexual Desire, 2007, that you remember that these things sometimes need to, you know, happen a little bit and then backing off and sort of reconnecting with each other and not having it be about, you know, more intense and more intense and more random, crazy, whatever, like creative, role-playing, whatever might happen. So I think that was an important paper to include. And so thank you for finding it.
No worries. Thank you.
So I think maybe another show we'll talk about paraphilias and sexual fantasies, maybe some of the darker side of the BDSM and the abuse that might be sort of sitting behind some of the BDSM practitioners, the sadomasochism, that kind of thing.
We can definitely touch on that, and I'd actually like that because I'm just
right
finishing
now?
Off that book, actually.
Okay. Or do you want to do another show on that? Because it's a whole rich topic that we could talk about.
I think
in
we could
show.
Do a full show on that, but if people have any questions, they can call in regards to that. But Who's Been Sleeping in My Head is a great book, which I'm reading right now.
Great. Well, then I look forward to your book review.
Thank
show.
You.
On paraphilias. Okay, so we promised to talk about threesomes because it's the classic and it's the most common fantasy for men, apparently. And so I think that threesomes, and Caroline and I talked about this earlier, that they tap into, I think, especially men's most primal sexual longings, because men are evolutionally wired to spread their seed far and wide. So the more women they mate with, ostensibly, the more variations of their genetic material that get passed on, et cetera, et cetera.
Definitely. The King of Siam had over 100 wives, not to mention the concubines. So, I mean, those women had to take care of themselves. So I think it leads to lots of variation, a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, that's what... Okay. I got confused there because I'm thinking we're talking about men and they're spreading the seed, so what's with the women? But the women seems like they were just kind of innocent bystanders to being one of many women in men's lives.
They were, but I think they need to take care of themselves too, so yes. Which is why sometimes it's good and can be quite lovely, if that's what you're into.
Okay.
Just coming from the straightest woman around, but that's beside the point.
All right. Well, it still lists threesomes to top the list of male fantasies. 31% of men, and women acknowledge them as more of a blip on the erotic radar at 15%, which I still think is high.
I thought that was interesting. Interestingly, earlier there was that article in menshealth.com as well.
That's 25%.
25% of women.
Way too high. I don't know where they're getting their research, but it's just too high. It's women, you know, we have lots of other fantasies, but I don't think threesomes are at the top of our list. What is your opinion on that, Caroline?
I think it depends on the woman. And I think it depends on the demographic.
It's still a triangle of energy where somebody's being left out at all times.
I think it depends on what your variation is in terms of a threesome. There's a lot of different kinds. There's the kind like when we talked about the movie Young People Fucking, which was a great Canadian flick. There's the guy who's sitting there watching, you know, regardless whether it's, you know, that was with two men and one woman, but the fact is one person was sitting and indulging in voyeurism technically while the other two were actually going at it.
Yep.
So there's that type of fantasy. There's the other
threesome
type.
Threesome fantasy, yeah.
Yes, and then there's other types of threesomes where it could be like yourself and... say a girlfriend or whatever could be like taking care of your male partner where each of you are like one's like licking his balls while the other one's licking the shaft, for example, and then sharing kisses and stuff like that, which I think is a one for all guys. I think a lot of them like that. So that kind of thing. And you may say that that's all they get to do where it's all oral sex. There's no actual sex. So I think it depends on what
intercourse.
Yes. What you choose to actually do in terms of with your partners. I think it really varies.
I guess so. I mean, I
you
just
need to
think
talk about it beforehand, and I think it starts with communications.
Ad nauseum.
Yes.
Ad nauseum. I mean, if you're partnered at all, you need to talk about these things forever, about every detail possible, and negotiate all kinds of things. I mean, it's not. You have to remember people before you engage in a threesome that you will never be able to go back to a pre-threesome relationship. So it's a very important factor to consider it. Mm-hmm. It's not something light. So, again, if you're a third person in a threesome and you're just sort of dropping into this little couple situation, good on you. Make sure you're also clear. Are you doing this for the one time only or for multiple times? Or if you're interested in doing a polyamorous situation, that's a different situation. But you have to be clear. But mostly you're there for the ride and to have a good time. And usually you're in the middle and having an especially good spoilage time and you're the new flavor. So, you know, enjoy. But I think when you're in a couple situation, you have to talk about these things a lot beforehand.
And I think it's important, too, because especially if you've done it before and you've had multiple threesomes, sometimes you might just have a different perspective mm-hmm. about it, whether that be the male or the female, or maybe it might be with two guys and a girl. Mm-hmm. There's always that, too.
And remember, would you do this sober?
Yes.
Would you be able to do this sober? Would you be interested in doing this sober? Or even just one or two drinks in yours, puff a pot or whatever your vice is. But, you know, often we get into these sexual situations because we're loaded or we have to get absolutely loaded or on high on drugs to be able to do these things. In the morning, we regret them. So remember, would you do this sober?
That's a really valid point. But the other thing, too, is it's again, with communication. I'd recommend starting with toys, imagining what it would feel like. So, for example, like Jose.
You want to have the DP. Have your lover put their cock in your ass and use a dildo in your vagina. Is that what you mean? Double penetration?
Not necessarily. It could be something like...
This is an example.
That is an example.
If you want two men, how's it going to feel?
Sure. Or if you wanted another woman there where it's just like you could be using the vibrator on your partner while he's fucking you from behind. And you can say, I'd love to have another girl's face there or another guy's face while I'm sucking a guy's cock because they're on the bottom.
With a vibrator on their tongue.
Yeah. Actually, you can buy those. I saw those at Honey. They look quite interesting.
Numbing your tongue, but yeah, it could be fun.
It could be very interesting.
Your dental work might suffer.
But I think that would be a great thing. The second thing would be, no, not about the dental work suffering. That's expensive. And, you know, there are some things that we will pay for sexual pleasure, but dental work is a lot. Especially bridges.
Mind you, if you're really into giving oral sex on a guy a lot, then you might just want to get
dentures. Get your teeth all yanked out.
Exactly. So you can just put them in the cleaning solution.
And
now
it's turning into the Caroline and Julia show. But okay, starting with talking when you're having sex with your partner, where it's like, wouldn't it be nice if there was another set of hands where while I'm stroking
lips,
your...
Lips, bodies. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you started off that way. Then perhaps going to a strip club or something like that, getting a lap dance where it's in a closed environment where...
You know there's not going to be any touching or intercourse or sudden engagement that you can't handle, but just a lot of eroticism and teasing. And
it's safe.
It's safe sex, for sure.
And if you really, really are uncomfortable and you're worried about getting jealous or anything, you can always hire a professional and bring them in.
Yep, you done know, that.
You can do that for the economy. It's an easy, simple way
the
to
economy.
Do it.
That's right.
It's good for the economy.
That's right, the sexual economy. Now, a threesome can, you know, again, it can bring on inferiority by virtue of comparison. There's a risk of jealousy. There's losing the intimacy that up to that point only you and your partner have shared. There's lots of things to consider. There's lots of great things. More hands, more lips, more bodies, more fun to have, more things to discover, more repertoire of possibilities. But as columnist William Salatin puts it, fidelity isn't natural. But jealousy is, hence the one spouse rule. One isn't the number of people you want to sleep with, it's the number of people you want your partner to sleep with. And so I think that that's pretty telling and...
We just both had shugasms there.
And very true, right? I mean, fidelity isn't natural, and monogamy isn't necessarily natural, but one isn't necessarily the amount of people that you want to have sex with, but the amount that you want your partner to only have sex with one. I think it's true. So this is about jealousy and possessiveness, and I think we all kind of harbor a little bit of that inside ourselves.
And I think all of us are like that.
Are some shoes.
Those are very hot shoes. I think I had a multiple shoegasm there. It was quite hot.
You had some great ideas on the fantasy. I adding the toys in the mix, going for the lap dance. I really want to acknowledge you for your brilliance, Caroline.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, our top three tips on how to successfully have a threesome is to communicate clearly beforehand what, why, how, with all parties involved, or at least a framework, if it's in the moment kind of thing. Decide if the three party is going to be engaging in voyeurism or exhibitionism or what they're going to be doing or not doing. And as Caroline had suggested, create a safe word. So you don't have someone really getting pissed off, some kind of like word that means, no, I've had enough, we need to take a break, I need to calm my emotions down, whatever your partner needs at that time.
And that goes for all three people, because, I mean, there's been times where somebody may meet a couple, or you might meet them, like, say, online, say, on Craigslist or whatever, or something like that, or Plenty of Fish, one of those dating website things, and you're only attracted to one person. So you might really expect a voyeurism type of thing where you get to have sex with the one person, the other person watches, and then all of a sudden they want to join in. So make sure there's a code word for everybody involved there, where there's no feelings hurt or anything. One of the other ones, I actually want to add a fourth one, which is safe sex. Just because you are having sex. Yeah, I mean, especially if you're having two guys, you know, you don't want to, you want to know who the daddy is. So making sure that you're playing it safe all the way around. Plus, of course, STIs, obviously, HIV, Hep C.
And well
just
before.
Being really careful. And you want to make sure you know this beforehand. It's just very important. And if you're using a professional, you know, they should be insisting on that anyway.
I think also important, of course, to decide as well, this our last tip here is that before the threesome happens, decide how is it going to benefit your relationship and how you might do that in some other way beyond involving other people. I think because, you know, if your partner's a no-go, don't push it, drop it, work on other aspects of increasing your pleasure, of increasing your arousal and your connection.
And ask yourself, why do you want it? I know some very, I know some really wonderful long-term partners, people who actually indulge in the almost swinger lifestyle, I guess is the best way to describe it. But when it comes right down to it, they're each other's best friend. It's a very solid, solid relationship between the two of them. And I think that really has to be established right from the get-go before you bring other people into the mix.
Well, I think before we get into this rape fantasy, we should do that maybe in the paraphilia show, because I don't want to rush through all this juicy good stuff that we got. We could talk about role plays. They're very, very popular.
Role playing, I think, is wonderful. So whether or not you're being a little sexy schoolgirl.
Whether it's a forced sex role play or a rape fantasy or a ravishment or whatever. You know, BDSM, they like to call it ravishment fantasies, not rape.
I like that word.
Because it's consensual role play and then rape is a non-consensual assault. So I think that's a ravishment fantasy is good. I like to have one myself. So I think role play is, again...
I'll keep that in mind, Julia.
We talked about...
We've already had somebody imagining us being naked, which you might be listening tonight.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
This is your little... Oh, never mind, Julia.
Anyway, no, not... No.
What I think is very interesting is that, you know, the code word, the safe words, the stoplight system, yellow, take it easy, you know... red stops everything, that kind of thing. Other ones,
green light,
you know,
is go.
Discussion of emotional issues, important. So role plays also, I think, what's a very popular role play fantasy that you can think of, Caroline? The little schoolgirl?
A doctor and nurse.
Doctor and nurse.
Or
right.
Doctor and patient. I think...
Yes, actually, my ex, Miles, had a really big nurse and doctor.
Really? Where it's like I'm
I almost bought the outfit, but we didn't quite get there. But yeah, he was really into having the nurse basically dominate him and punish him in some medical fashion.
That's great. Tying him up with the stethoscope, I love it. I think that's pretty hot, Jules.
I really wish I'd done it to Miles, actually.
And perhaps...
So that I could talk in great detail about his whimpering that he was doing during... the role play, but we never
I
got
think
there.
That's a lot of information for our listeners there. But what you could do is you could combine different ones. Like you could have, say, for example, your little schoolgirl going to the school nurse. Hi, my butt hurts, I think. And climbing up onto this table and having to lie down because they're not quite feeling well and having to pull her panties down so they can see if there's anything there, which, of course, there isn't until the
Would she wear dirty panties, like with this little skid on them or something?
Maybe there's some schmegma on there. The nurse just might have to lick it off before
speckles
she sends her home.
Speckles of blood from her anal leakage. You're the one who brought it up. Okay.
I wasn't quite what era is going on there.
Anyway, let's get away from the medical
model. We're not talking about Miles.
I know. I'm sorry, Miles, but I'd just like to punish you for dumping me so brutally. I'm still in pain, obviously. I'm okay, everyone. I'm okay. So I'm just playing. I really am fine about Miles. He's a poor little boy. All right. So he's a great man. Lovely, lovely person. So what other role plays? I think, you know, there's master
so many
and servant of some sort.
There's master and servant. Even Depeche Mode has a song about master and servant.
Are you going to sing it for us?
No, I'm not going to sing it
master
for us.
Master and servant.
There, I'll let you do it. There's also really interesting ones, like the whole stranger one, where it's like, I'm going to pick somebody up at the bar. Have you ever done that, where you've gone out and pretend not to know them?
Yes.
And then, oh, hi.
Yeah,
you know?
And I just cracked up halfway through. Mind you, I was only 25, but I did try it, and, you know, he dropped me off on the street corner. I had to, you know, act like he was picking me up in the car and act like I didn't know him and that we just met and stuff. But I couldn't get into it.
Really?
I'm not an actor. I'm just not an actor, and I'm not into role-playing, but it really works for other people.
But you know what it is?
It works for people.
Need to reiterate something in terms of the whole acting thing. There is no such thing as acting. You actually take words on paper, you process it through your body, your emotional energy, and your kinetic end, your emotional inner life, all that stuff. You have to put it through that.
This is why you're the professional, not me.
Darling, you could be just as professional if you wanted to. So if you wanted to play, like, say, Pretty Woman fantasy, where, you know, like, he rescues the prostitute and she rescues him right back, quote, unquote, from the movie, you can do that if you're so inclined. And that could be really super hot. So
I would just like him to go buy me a pair of shoes and then I'll suck his cock up with that.
I'll keep that in mind. And I could probably send a few foot fetish guys your way if you're so inclined. Although we may have to get Marion to buy his shoes because his shoes are way too super
Marion
hot.
Yes, Marion is coming up next with Hans von Kloss's Misery Hour. And he is a very, very sexy man to be miserable with, let me tell you. So do stay tuned for the next couple of hours because he's just, like, if you want to masturbate and fantasize, this is the man to do that with.
We need to have pictures of his shoes.
I generally go home and masturbate. First, I start from the top of his head. Then I go down eventually to the shoes before I have...
I thought you said you didn't fantasize.
Well, Marion's an exception. But all I have to say is thank goodness for the CRTC for firing me off the 8 o'clock shot and showtime and putting us to 10.
So we can talk about all these things.
Then we can see him every week.
Ironically,
the first 3 years I was deprived.
Well, see, this gives you some masturbation material when you
That's
get
right.
home.
It does.
It's always healthy.
It's always healthy. You see?
Actually,
even Marion
you know what?
Thinks so.
Masturbation is a very good thing because it is safe sex.
It is.
It is the safest sex around, unless you have bad nails, you scratch up your insides if you're a girl.
I masturbate because I always know that I make love to somebody that I love.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I'm making love to somebody that I love.
I think it's important for the twosomes.
It's a good one to remember.
The threesomes, the foursomes.
The orgies.
Orgies.
The gagging your lovers, if you like to gag them with your cock or whatever. People like to do that, too.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Okay, that's the end. Hope you enjoyed tonight's show. The end.
We're going to be back at the Sexy Hour next week at
10 o'clock.
And on that note, if you're listening tomorrow at 5 o'clock, I will be on the air. I'm filling in for the Petal Show.
Because you thought it was about
the Queer FM one, which I was going to have the lovely Malaika Millions on, which on that note, her show is called Myths and something else on Thursday.
When are you going to be on the air again here?
I'm going to be on at 5 o'clock on
tomorrow
afternoon, 5 o'clock.
What are you planning on doing 5 o'clock
I'm going to be interviewing Malaika Millions a little bit about bicycles, which is kind of a ironic because I'm the girl who doesn't
ride a bicycle.
No, I don't. The only thing I ever do is try and get myself off a little bit during spinning class from bouncing up and down, but that's a whole other thing at the gym. And on that note,
thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week
at the Sexy Hour.
Oh, cock.
10.
Oh, my God.
You just experienced Juice Box Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juice Box every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.
To me.